Hello and welcome to Not a Safe Space. This is Sabrina.
And Tabby.
Hey girl, what's going on?
Not much. How are you?
Did you like notice my brain start when you said, okay, go?
And then
I was like, hello, because a warning sign popped up on my laptop as I went to talk. And so I'm trying to talk and read.
Oh.
And in my head, I'm like, don't sound like an idiot. Don't sound like an idiot. Don't sound like an idiot.
Too late. You sounded like an idiot.
Yeah, right. I was like, hello.
We're going to be a little slow and special on episode 43 today, guys.
Always slow and special on every episode.
You would think that we were recording on a Monday morning, but no, it's Wednesday.
I know. Every day is a Monday because we've lived in Groundhog's Day for 4 months now.
Pretty much. Every day is the same. Everyone's like, what's right. new? Nothing's fucking new. It's the same shit over and over again.
Well, that's what somebody just texted me and said, hey, how are you doing? And I was like, first world problems. What about you? I mean, right. There's nothing to talk about.
Not particularly.
So don't worry, everybody. What we'll do is take you through an odyssey of random fucking topics for the next 2 hours. So sit back and enjoy.
Oh, yes. And buckle your seatbelts because it's going to be bumpy.
That's right. So let's talk about some current events. What's new in your life? What's new in my life?
Yep.
Sergeant General Tabby, is that what I'm going to be calling you now?
Apparently. So just for an FYI. So with all the things that are going on in the country right now, Dion has reached out to the local Florida militia. And we're actually going to a meeting tonight to find out more about it. What is it? How does it work? They gave us a bit overall. So they do stuff like training, operations, like how to get food to and from places if you need to, drills, self-defense, how to make MREs, how to survive, right? And that's what they're there for. So if there's a total collapse in the government, they step in.
Okay. How did you get into this, or how did you become interested in it?
My husband.
Besides Dion, what prompted this?
My husband mainly. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm so sorry. My dog Maverick just went under my legs and scared the shit out of me.
Please don't use the Lord's name in vain around me. That's offensive.
I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding. Okay. I'm just fucking kidding. Jesus Christ, Tabby.
What the fuck?
I can't believe you just fell for that.
I know. Well, I'm a little taken back. I was scared because of my dog. And then you're like, all serious. Like, don't take the Lord's name in vain. I'm offended by that. Everybody's fucking offended by things.
I know. All right. So Sergeant Major Tabby is joining or looking to join the Florida militia.
Right.
What's the point of it?
Preparedness. And then the other thing is, so say, for example, if Dion went out to a protest and the local government didn't like what he was protesting, and let's say they tried to strip Dion of his Second Amendment rights and take his guns away, the militia would be right there to support him.
Got it.
Right.
What are you looking forward to?
I want to see what they're about. I've made it clear that I have not made my decision whether I'm going to join or not. I want to see what their mission is, what they're doing, how they're helping, what is all entailed first.
What are your concerns?
My concerns are, honestly, would be backlash on Dion's work, right? That sort of thing, which I don't think there will be, because they're not a political organization. So, and just to see what it's about, because I don't know anything about it. And it does talk, they do a lot of things that are very intimidating for me, but it's things that I need to know, such like drills, right? So, they teach you self-defense. That, for me, can make me a little anxious, right? But it's something I do need to learn. And then, drills as far as shooting and tactical strategies.
Do they train you like in actual army?
I don't know.
Yeah, so then is the militia's intent to be in an armed army and against our own army, if that's what it comes down to?
And I believe that's it, but I don't know 100%. The only thing I can really relate this to is the movie The Patriot, because Mel Gibson was in the militia, right? So it was just the townspeople getting together and learning and coming together to protect themselves against their own government at that time.
Are you concerned that it will be seen as racist or extremist?
Yes.
Yeah.
I am.
I think that makes sense, but I think if anybody is educated on the purpose of why guns are allowed in this country, which is to protect ourselves from our own government, and in order to arm ourselves and to create these militias, that was the whole point of it, not to go shooting with your friends on the weekend. And as long as their mission statement is clear to that, then I think that it should be fine. I think no matter what, everybody will kind of have this bias about it, right? This, oh, well, I wonder how Tabby looks in her white robe, or, you know, something like that, rather than disconnecting it from, you know, a racist group to a pro-gun militia or whatever their mission statement is.
To protect your rights. So the one thing he had told Dion that was very interesting, he goes, look, we are not, if you are looking to jump into a fight, he's like, you're in the wrong spot. He's like, that's not what we're doing. He's apparently it's a kind of like a reactive one. Mm-hmm. It's not one where there's a protest and they're running out to go stop the protest.
Right.
They only show up when they need to show up if it comes to that point. Otherwise, they stay out of it.
I mean, I think it's interesting because I think, you know, these times have shown that it is necessary to have the rights to own guns when we don't agree with what our police departments are doing. Right. And that doesn't matter what color you are. Yep. I mean, a lot of these fights going on now with the police department are white groups against the police, and not so much Black Lives Matter groups against the police. At least a lot of the violent outbursts have been. And so then we have a right to own guns for a purpose. So I don't think it's a terrible thing. I think it's going to be super interesting and super physically demanding on you to tactically learn how to operate within a battle, which is essentially what they're teaching you. It's not so much self-defense, but it's self-preservation, really, in war-wise, not walking to your car in the middle of the night-wise.
Right. And the other thing that I probably would actually be able to possibly help that Deanna has explained was self-preservation. Like, I know how to preserve food.
Right.
Which is something you can teach people, because if we do have, you know, complete anarchy, there's no electricity, there's no grocery stores, there's no nothing. So how do you survive with that? So it'll be interesting to see.
I think that's super cool. I think that it makes sense for you in where, you know, the constitutional beliefs that you and your husband hold, the pro-gun stance that you and your husband hold, I think that it makes sense for you. I also think that you're a great representative of what the militia can be, because you're not a straight rich white woman.
Right.
In it, you are a bisexual, hardworking, you know,
lesbian moms.
Right, and came from a working class family. So I think that you're a great example of what it actually could be rather than the stereotype. And same thing with Dion.
Right, exactly. And part of that is Dion, a couple weeks ago, we went out and I got a little 22.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so we went out, and he took me and Pam out to go do drills.
Mm-hmm.
So not just standing out there with your arms extended and shooting, right? Because that's great. Anybody can do it. But when you're in a brawl or an attack with someone, it's going to be a close range shot.
Right. Like he made me do. Yeah. He made me approach, go up, go up, go up, and then shoot. Well, and then he made me like draw and shoot all of a sudden.
So he makes us walk up to a target, and at any point he yells, now I have to remove my shirt, remove the gun out of it, unlock it, and shoot it as quickly as possible. And that is so hard. You would think it's super easy, but it's not.
Yeah.
Even he.
No, it's not. It's not at all.
No. It is really hard, and especially when you don't know and expect it, and you're trying to learn it, and you're like, damn, shirt's in the way, won't come out of the holster, and you're like, yep, that's it, you're dead.
Right, and even on the other side of it, because I think that I shared this the last, when we talked about my experience of shooting a gun at your house, is when Dion ran me through that drill the first time I shot the target that close, I cried, because there is also a great responsibility of what's on the other side. And to me, it doesn't matter if that's a bad guy or not. That's still a person that I've taken their life for. And there's a huge responsibility that comes with owning a gun.
Absolutely. There is a huge, huge responsibility. You know, we had an injured animal on the farm and Dion wanted me to kill it. And I said, no. And he goes, well, yeah. He goes, you got to get, I said, no, I said, because I can't take that back.
Right.
And I said, yeah. I'm not ready to do that. Even though it's, you know, I'm not ready. I can't do that right now.
Yeah. So. No, I don't blame you. Cause you're right. You can't take all of that back. And it's also not necessary, right? Like if you choose to arm yourself because there might be a time where it's necessary for you to defend yourself, it's not necessary for you to kill that animal. Your husband can do it. If you don't want that to be your job with that gun,
right?
Then that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. And he understood. And he was like,
yeah, that's good.
And he was like, okay. He's like, fine. You know, he took care of it sort of thing. So.
Right. Uniforms. Do they wear uniforms?
They do have uniforms. And,
ugh. I can't imagine what that's going to look like.
It looks like something a Ken doll would wear.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, I don't know if you're required to wear it at meetings or whatever, right? They did say they do quarterly trainings and all of that kind of stuff, but they do have, it's camouflage gear. It's not a real uniform. Do you know what
right,
I mean?
Yeah.
It's gear.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's cool. That'll be interesting to share, you know, what that experience is like.
Yeah.
Because I don't think a lot of people understand. They see people holding guns, especially a group of white people, and they think white supremacy. And that's truly not what gun ownership is about and why people cling to their guns.
Right.
There was a purpose behind it. And really, for me, this whole corona thing has truly been an eye-opening experience of why our founding fathers set the rules that they did.
Yes.
And it like everything starts to go, oh, that's why they did that. Thank goodness they did that. So it's been interesting. I did send you an article yesterday, just a little plot twist of, you know, we've mentioned people suing now for monuments, suing this, suing that. Mm-hmm. The New York retailers are suing the city, the mayor, the governor, the police department of New York for not defending them during the riots.
Good.
I thought that again, plot twist and so interesting, because when I read the article, I didn't disagree with them. The article says that they pay taxes and that tax money goes to those police. And when the mayor chose not to send the police in and allowed people to go in and loot their stores. Mm-hmm. Now you want their insurance companies to pay for it, or you want them to pay for it? Where was the protection that they were ordered? You allowed citizens to free range steal from them.
Correct.
And I thought that was so, and it's not, they're not seeking money as much as it's a class action lawsuit. It is to prove a point that the mayor made a decision to pull the police out. However, there are businesses and residents that are owed their protection.
Yes, they are, because they pay for it and they're required to pay those taxes. So,
right, yeah.
Nobody's letting them not pay the taxes if they don't want to. And they should be suing the mayor individually and not just mm-hmm. the position of the mayor. They should be revoked and removed immediately. And that state should follow their contingency plan when there's an overthrow of their state government and figure out what needs to be done. Because right. that is treason of their state constitution.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting just to see how everything starts to unfold after all these events happened. In the state of Florida, our individual school boards announced back to school plans
yep.
2 weeks ago, just to have the school board commissioner for the state come back and make an order. He mandated an order last week saying, no matter what, brick and mortar schools will open 5 days a week in 30 days. Schools in Florida open in 30 days. And basically taking everything that the individual school boards have been working on for months mm-hmm. to figure out a return to school and saying, start all over. You need to open these buildings up 5 days a week for every single activity, including after school, because these children deserve an education. They deserve the ability to go back. And the parents deserve the ability to go back to work.
Correct.
And that's kind of tussled some feathers. I've read, you know, people on Facebook, teachers going, oh, this man doesn't care. How dare he do this? Blah, blah. I know our school board, I sat and listened to a live broadcast of their meeting yesterday up until 10:30 when finally one of the school board members was like, I propose we recess until tomorrow morning because we still have 35 comments we need to read.
Wow.
So it's interesting to see how all of this has unfolded and then how they try to refold it and put it all back together.
Right. And I think a lot of it is fear. People are scared of what's going to happen. And you're talking about the kids, you know, but at the same time, you can't expect low income families to not go to work to be able to put their kids in school. It won't right. work. They'll be homeless.
Right. And the longer the kids are out of school, the longer those parents aren't able to work, which means you're hurting not only the parents, but then the economy of that business and everything else. And also, daycares have stayed open this entire time.
Right, which doesn't make sense.
Right, so where is the overwhelming sickness within those kids? So it's, I don't know. And then, you know, our school board has approved millions of dollars to add these plastic shields and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. It makes me wonder how much money we're wasting.
Right, and I wonder where those companies are and who's making money off of that, right? I mean,
right.
I'm sure that's billions of dollars nationwide to put
right.
all that stuff in. And like you said, the daycares are open and those children aren't getting sick. They don't have plastic barriers. They're not practicing social distancing. So what's, you know, I feel
yeah.
like there's a lot of contradicting stuff going on out there. Apparently the news had said now coronavirus is airborne.
Yeah, who knows?
But then I also last week watched the World Health Organization officially say asymptomatic people can't spread the virus. So even if you don't know you have it and you're not asymptomatic, you don't have any symptoms, you can't spread it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, who knows? So let me give you the update of where we are on this corona thing or
okay.
my current event. I am officially in a 14-day self-quarantine as of yesterday.
Okay.
Somebody directly related to our family tested positive. Somebody that we were sharing a couch with on Sunday. Well, has not tested positive, but she was tested today. She's sick, she's nauseous, headaches. She's got all the symptoms of it. A couple members of her family are sick too. So as soon as we found that out, it's like, all right, well, the next 14 days, according to the rules, we're supposed to be self-quarantined.
Right.
I sent my son and husband to go get tested today.
Okay.
So that we would officially know. Because not all of us, we feel fine.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
It all depends. So, like, here's the other thing that happens. You guys could actually get COVID, right? But not have any symptoms and be completely fine, right? And you're doing the responsible thing. You found out you were exposed. You're going to self-quarantine, right? But after that quarantine period, you can't still spread it.
Right.
So then you're free to go back outside.
Right. Yeah, so it's weird. It's, you know, it's, what did Jen call it? She said, you know, we're basically playing Russian roulette at this point. You don't really know how you're getting it. You don't really know who has it. You don't really know what to believe. Mm-hmm. And you can almost get it from any direction now at this point. So we may or may not have it. I have no fucking clue, right? I mean, right. And I may or may not have gotten it a few weeks ago because I went to a graduation party a couple of weeks ago. And then somebody from that graduation party did actually test positive.
Okay.
Well, then within that week, like my bowel movements were like softened up a bit. To me, I didn't even think about it because I didn't find out that they were positive until almost 10 days later. Well, that's a symptom of COVID, but really, who fucking knows?
Also be you ate something that upset your stomach too.
Exactly,
so
right?
You gotta have multiple symptoms.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Like I can understand fever, nauseous, dizzy, right. Fatigue, things that are associated with very much like the flu. When
right,
you
exactly.
get sick, your body knows it, not just an upset stomach.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. So we went and I sent them to go get tested. There's the new federal testing center opened up down the street. They were tested this morning.
Okay.
We'll find out either way. I just thought it would be good just to do the responsible thing. We'll self-quarantine for 14 days. If I could make it.
But you know what, Sabrina? It's not much more different than what you've been doing already.
No, it's not. You're right. 100%. The only thing is like I said, I told Jen, you know, I won't see you for 14 days.
Right.
I mean, even though I spent time with her up until Sunday, who knows? So, who knows? Anyways, that's where we're at with it.
All right.
I did want to share that, you know, I am struggling a little bit with just kind of, I would say, I called it and I wrote it down to you as just relationship boredom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody, I think, kind of knows that my job required me to travel, and I've traveled the last 5 years, and I need that in my life. I need it. And not because, and now I have my husband throwing it in my face of, oh, well, you don't like us. You don't want to be around. It's not that. But this work-life balance that I had for so long, I miss it.
Right.
And I'm literally bored with the people I live with. You know, I am a different kind of person. I'm a talkative person. I'm a person that, you know, throws out these questions and want to engage in intriguing conversations. And when the answer I get back is, I don't know, well, let's see what Google has to say. Shut up. You know, I have more interesting conversations with the people sitting next to me in the airports or at the airport bar or
right.
the lady at my hotel or, you know, my coworkers. And I miss that. And I was told last week from my work that this is the next 6 months. And it's like being shot. You know, like it's like a stab in the heart where yes. it's just a struggle.
It is a struggle because you are a talkative person and you must really, really, really love our podcast right now.
For sure. Right. And then there's the fact that, you know, it relationship-wise with my husband of we hardly ever have sex now. And everybody knows up until, you know, what, episode 27, 30, whenever we started all of this.
You guys were fucking like rabbits.
Right. Like, I never had that issue. But the point is now is that there's nothing interesting going on, right? And there's never any alone time, and there's never any want or desire because there's no missing somebody. There's no, you can't miss somebody that you're always around. You can't desire that person that's always around. You can't, you know, sleep with somebody when there's two other people in the house all the time.
Right.
Oh, but yeah. It's just the point where I am at what I've called relationship boredom, and it's not fun. And I don't see an end in sight yet. The other thing is that I feel like I'm withdrawing from my friends and family because there really is nothing to talk about, right? Like texting back and forth. What's the difference? None of us are doing anything new. And so we check in with one another every once in a while, but I feel like it's withdrawn, and it's just not me. I feel like everybody's kind of doing it.
Right. And
everybody's kind of becoming withdrawn from one another.
Yes, and this is the effects of a major shutdown, and this is a mental condition that we are not prepared for, and it's very hard for most of us.
Right.
Know? So I am very used to being with my husband 90% of the time. My husband worked from home, a stay-at-home wife. I know how to handle us being together all the time, right? We've been married 5 years, so it's 6 years total together. And we've been pretty much together the entire time.
Right.
You know, so, and what we do is, Dion goes, you need some girl time, go on, you need to get out. You know, we're able to separate, right?
Right.
And do our own things. And I think part of our benefit is he needs time to himself. I need time to myself. He goes out and feeds the pigs or feeds the fishes and looks at the aquaponics and does certain things. And I do other different things around the house, right? So there's that. I would suggest to you, Sabrina, you need to come up with a hobby, something you can do on your own, right? Like,
well, that's not the thing though. Like, yeah, but I mean, I do plenty on my own. I mean, quite honestly, we all function individually on our own. And I spend a lot of alone time. I think the problem is I need out of this house. I need out of this city. I'm the opposite of needing a hobby that I do by myself. Mm-hmm. I need people.
Gotcha.
Or something that even Nate and I could do, right? Even if it was a hobby that we both can do. But the truth is that there's nothing that we like in common. You know, there's...
Well, what about the boat? Have you guys christened the boat
yet? Oh, well, no. But the boat's been wonderful. It's been a wonderful escape every weekend. And we've definitely been using the shit out of that. I'm just saying, on just an everyday basis, Monday through Friday.
Okay,
has been very repetitive and very boring, and it just sucks any type of adventure out of your relationship. So I did, and I told you that we had planned to go to St. Augustine this weekend, Nate and I, just the two of us. St. Augustine is mandated mask. I don't want to walk around with a fucking mask. So the idea was, let's just go to our favorite inn, stay in the hotel, fuck like rabbits, sit out on the balcony.
Right.
We can order food in. And I think we're still going to do that, even though we're self-quarantined, because they have self-check-in. So we don't have to see anybody. We can just go and sit there. And hopefully that will help.
Right.
It's just something that we're going to have to do more often, more than we normally did, because I need it.
Yeah.
And I know when I need it, I treat him very poorly. And it's not a good mix.
No, and it's nobody's fault. I mean, we're in this very unique situation, and
right,
you know, it sucks. It really does. You know, you gotta, you talked about multiple episodes ago about wanting to meditate and all of that, and learning to be with Sabrina. Well, girl, you are learning to be with Sabrina whether you want to or not.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the thing, though, is like I can be by myself and have these thoughts and be able to process things. And that's why, you know, like I was sharing these little self notes that I keep to myself. The problem is I have, when I propose these questions, the people in my house don't entertain me back. And it's so boring compared to when I throw it out to you and you're like, oh, well, let's think about this and let's dissect it and let's do this. And
right.
And that's what I miss.
I gotcha. Well, you know what you need to do? You probably either need to call me or Dion, because we'll freaking sit there and go, ba-da-da-da-da-da-da.
I know.
You know? So.
Now, how do you feel, and do you disagree or agree with me when I said that, you know, friends are withdrawing from one another? Because we just missed 4th of July. You guys canceled, you know, we did not have a 4th of July celebration. I know you sent out a text a day later just saying that you guys had really missed it.
Oh, yeah. I cried.
Yeah, it didn't feel like 4th of July to me.
It did not feel like 4th of July. I cried. Dion's like, you're crying. I said, I did not realize how much this event meant to me. I mean, I was sad that I didn't have my friends here. And, you know, we talked privately probably 3 months before this was going to happen. And we were like, oh, you need to take some downtime and not exhaust yourself and all of that. And then I'm going, you know, but I cried. I cried because I missed it. So the exhaustion is worth it. It's worth.
Yeah, I get. Yeah, I understand. Because, right, you can rationalize why we're not going to do it. There's an epidemic. There's, you know, financial strength. There's time strength. There's emotional. All these things that go on into planning such a big weekend. And even me, where I'm like, okay, well, we'll just go out on the boat. Well, the truth is, it just felt like any other weekend. And I missed. You know, typically Nate and I are the first ones there, and you and I are up on your bed and we're chit chatting, or, you know, the, you know, early morning coffees with Pam and the late night giggles between Pam and Jay. And and, you know, sitting in the pool with everybody and, you know, debating with Dion, and then, you know, Jen's Mexican tacos for breakfast and Doreen being in the kitchen 24/7. Like, and, you know, but she loves that because she loves to feed her friends. And I even thought for a second, like, the smell of Dion's meat on the green egg by the pool, right? I almost text you guys that, like, oh, I miss Dion's meat.
Yeah, you should have texted us that. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, and I think that we all probably felt the same sadness of it. As much as it makes sense.
Right.
It's sad. This whole year just hasn't happened.
This whole year has been sad. And part of the crying was that I was like, we didn't have it. We had it, you know, Corona, and then, you know, financially. And then I got mad and I was really upset at myself. And I was like, you know what? I was like, we didn't plan for it. We just assumed we could have it. So I got mad at me, and then I turned around and I did the Dave Ramsey thing. So I now have an envelope and I have a monthly payment that goes in here. So then by next year, we will have enough money to be able to do the 4th of July party. Because in the sadness of missing the 4th of July, I also realized I am very, I'm very emotional over our money. Okay. That is the one thing, like, because I grew up poor, let's be really honest. Okay. So, us not being in a good financial position, I mean, we're okay, but not where we should have been, is very upsetting. Mm-hmm. So, our entire budget has changed. We now use the envelope method for everything.
I love the envelope system.
And I mean, we have all come together and I'm like, look, we get X amount of money every 2 weeks. This is it. When it's gone, it's gone. And whatever's left over goes into a savings account, into like another section where nobody knows about.
If nobody knows what Tabby's talking about, and we can plan a whole nother podcast on the Dave Ramsey system, because what Dave Ramsey has worked out and planned actually works. I've used it and rolled my debt away. Jen has used it. You guys have used it. My sister has used it. And it's something that you can continue to use because everybody knows, right? There's kind of an ebb and flow when it comes to debt and earnings, where there's a few years that where you might just be riding really high. And then there's going to be a few years where you're running really low. And that's where taking this knowledge and this foundation that Dave Ramsey has created, you can always go back to it, which you guys have, right. are doing now. Like, I'm looking right across from my desk or my envelopes in this thing that when it's time for us to go back on it, we'll do the same thing. Because it's such a great system and it's so simple and it works.
And I don't think that we may come off of it just because we are the type of people that like to swipe our card. And we just don't.
Oh, yeah, girl, for sure. Yeah.
No, we're going to stay on this for these main things, right? And then other things we'll discuss and see if it's financially feasible. But. Like the food, the gas, the animals, everything gets put in a category, you know.
Right.
I've gone down so far as setting aside money for the dog's yearly shots and medicine.
Yeah, good. Well, I'm going to put a note here that we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about the Dave Ramsey system. Like I said, I know a few people have done it. My girlfriend Jamie up in Virginia, she's done it. With her husband, they've done an amazing job. So I think that it's something that our listeners would be interested in hearing all about. Couple fun topics that we'll just kind of glaze over or quickly mention. Kanye West
running for president.
Announced over the... Yeah, he's running for president. First of all, do you think he was serious?
I don't know if he's serious or not. I think, well, what I read was he wants to run for president, but let's be really honest, he's not going to be serious like a real political campaign. He missed the deadline for several states, but he did tweet it, and then Elon Musk said, "You've got my full support." So
I think
what's going to happen is people are going to write down Kanye West's name and vote for him that way. And
right.
I, you know, the theory is, do you think he's going to run and then concede all his votes to Trump?
Yeah, right. Because let's see, Kanye is famously against Trump and then flipped and changed his mind and supports Trump. And now he's running. So what is he running as? Is he running as a Republican? Is he running as a Democrat? Is he running as an independent?
He can't run with a political party at this point because again, he didn't get selected, right? So
he wasn't in the primaries
missed the federal election commissions, and he hasn't created a campaign committee. He also missed the filing deadline because when you go to vote, when you go and run as a candidate, you have to file. With each state, and each state has a different deadline to run as that party's representative, right?
Right. So
he missed the deadline for Indiana, New Mexico, New York, North Carolina, and Texas, right? A lot of states, a lot of electoral colleges, but anybody can write his name in.
Right, I don't think it's anything to take seriously. I like the idea of it. Maybe not Kanye West, but somebody different, somebody that, especially on the Republican side. I mean, we've already admitted the Democrats failed, but the Democrats failed at finding, I think, competition for Donald Trump. Now, this was prior to COVID, prior to all the protest and riots, because a lot of that, I think, has become political where they're trying to get votes for Biden against Trump and make Trump look like a racist. I hate when people say if you support Trump, you are equally a racist. I have seen so many of my friends post that. I think it's fucking ridiculous. Yes. I hate when people throw that word around because they don't understand that it takes away the power that word should have. That word is a terrible meaning, but when you start throwing it around and labeling everybody who obviously are not racist, you are taking away the power of that word.
Absolutely. And you know what? In the end, it's not, I don't care anymore. You call me a racist, I don't give a shit. Because in the end, right. the person calling me a racist is more racist than I am.
Right, exactly, exactly. Yeah, I can't stand that. So I do like the idea of some weird person being thrown in the mix. I hope that they run with that idea. Let's find somebody younger, somebody that can bring people together without making false promises and all this ridiculousness and all of that crap.
We really need a real third party in this country is mainly what the problem is if you've ever listened, and I know Dion's told you this, but our founding fathers did not want us to be a two-party system. He knew that the country would pit themselves against each other and cause what the fuck is going on right now. We need a third party to even some shit out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. The next couple things that I want to just mention is that Colin Kaepernick is there's a documentary coming out. I'm just going to say this. I'm not going to watch it. Not because I don't support Colin Kaepernick, which I don't, but whatever. but I'm not going to watch it because I think it's too soon. But unfortunately, the stance, and it's not that I don't agree with what his stance was. His stance did not have a big enough movement or impact of what it was going to do. All he essentially did was lose his fucking job. And what is this documentary going to be on? His high school football career? Right, I don't give a fuck.
Well, here's the thing. I did a little bit of research. So Disney signed him. So it could be on ESPN. It could be on Disney Plus. It could be on ABC. Any Disney network could go ahead and show it. And it's supposed to, let's see. What did it say? It will focus on telling scripted and unscripted stories that explore race, social injustice, and quest for equity. Not equality, equity.
What's that defined as? A quest for equity?
Income.
Oh, a quest for income. Okay.
So, money. And I have a problem with this because are we idolizing someone who disrespects the American flag?
Yeah, I don't know if it's so much as an idolizing issue as...
But it's on a children's network. That's the problem I have with it. It's mainly a children's network. Now, if you stick to ESPN, that's fine. Let the adults do it. But when you start putting it on the kids' networks, you're indoctrinating our children.
Right. Yeah, I just think it's too soon. It's just not necessary. I don't think Colin Kaepernick has a story that's worth documenting at this point.
No.
Because there hasn't been a final outcome. He is still actively trying to be a part of the NFL. I want to see the finished story, and it hasn't happened yet.
And here's the other thing. With all of this, I have not seen Colin Kaepernick make any statements, tweets, done anything, protests, any fundraising for police brutality other than the sitting on the knee.
Right.
And the publicity that came along with it. Why didn't he create a campaign for this in 2016? Why didn't he bring awareness on his own platform? Because it wasn't like he didn't have a freaking huge ass platform on social media.
Right. You know, I don't know what he's done or hasn't done. And I guess if I watched the documentary, I would find out. But again, I'm not watching it. So
agreed.
Yeah. So if you guys do watch it, let us know. But I just think it's too soon. It's just not somebody that I'm interested in hearing a story. I'll tell you, I am interested in maybe Kanye West's story, right? Because Kanye has gone through these great big movements of change.
Right.
He was this superstar rapper who then became a joke and kind of lost his mind for a little bit, the same way Tom Cruise did for a while. And then he became political and Kanye West is a messed up person. He says the most fucked up things all the time. But I think he's also a very deep person that I'd be interested to hear his story, the loss of his mother and how that affected him and how he pivoted then and he constantly pivots and has continued to show growth. I'd be interested in him. Colin Kaepernick hasn't finished his story yet.
And I agree. I can respect Kanye West because he is growing as an individual.
Constantly,
he's looking to do better. And he may be rough around the edges, but his intent is better.
Right.
Colin Kaepernick, I cannot respect.
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. Not interested in it. So then the next thing that I shared on Twitter was that, you know, everybody knows that a lot of shows, a lot of artists, a lot of things are removing certain episodes because now it's racially incorrect, or I don't know the proper term, but specifically for episodes that included blackface, which is a big no-no. But the series Mad Men, which was a period timepiece, has an episode where one of the owners wears a blackface and performs a song. They have announced that they are not removing that episode because what they have done is added a warning to the front of it. There is parts of this episode that are offensive.
Yep.
But it shows the discomfort in the group, even at the time that it was, of when he comes out in blackface and starts singing. There are some people who really enjoy it. There are another two, specifically the two main characters, that it shows their discomfort, and the wife also asks to leave. And so I think that that's a great talking point, right? Mm-hmm. That's a great talking point to why it was okay back then.
Right.
And also why she felt uncomfortable and why it's not okay now. And I think that, and I know we mentioned this before, that when you start canceling people or removing things, it takes away our experience to learn. And so I respect AMC and Mad Men for saying we're not going to remove it. And I respect Netflix for not saying we're not going to show this at all. Netflix is allowing them to keep it on, which I thought was great.
That is great, because normally Netflix sometimes tends to be a little political in their shows.
Right.
So that's really good. And I like that they stuck to their guns, because let's be really honest, our history is dirty, it is unkind, and it was unforgiving, right?
Right.
Just like Kanye West, in our history, we are growing, and we are learning, and we're making changes. You know, and if we don't keep learning, we're doomed to repeat it. And when I wrote down my notes, I was thinking, you know what? I was like, we don't stop making movies about the Holocaust because it's uncomfortable. We make more movies about the Holocaust than any other nation I know. I mean, have you ever noticed how many movies we have about Nazis?
Mm-hmm.
You know? You don't hear the Jewish people screaming up and down, I don't want to see that. They're going, no, we need to be constantly reminded so we don't do that again. We don't let somebody destroy us like that.
Right. It makes me wonder, though, are we okay with the amount of Holocaust and Nazi movies because we're okay with the Nazis being the bad guys? And we're okay with of creating dramatic movies around that because we aren't the bad guys. So then if we start creating movies of what truly happened, how comfortable are we going to be to see all of that?
Right. But
instead of, you know, somebody's name we can't pronounce, it's going to be John Smith of Georgia. And we're all like, ew, this isn't fun to watch.
Right. And I understand that. So you also, I don't know if you know this or not, but my mother, Carolyn, and her mother came to the United States. They're German born,
mm-hmm.
right? So my grandmother escaped the Holocaust.
Wow.
So my grandmother was, when it really started, she was a young girl, and Hitler had this program for young ladies. They were supposed to go in. It was a kind of like a reformatory school. They taught them how they were supposed to act and behave and do these things. And it was supposed to be this beautiful thing. And my grandmother, being young and naive and not understanding what was going on, wanted to go, right? Because it was portrayed as this beautiful thing. And so, thankfully, my great-grandmother didn't let her go. And then when the war broke out, my grandmother accidentally got left behind. Her family was able to get on a train and get out, right? Mm-hmm. She was not. She was stuck in Germany as a young woman in her 20s with nowhere to go, with nothing mm-hmm. to do. She can tell you stories about how she had to become a prostitute to put just bread on the table. Stale, hard, nasty bread. That is what she had to do in order to survive.
Right.
You know, and it's hard because that's their heritage. Their own people did that to them because I think as Americans, we can go, well, all Germans were the bad ones. And they just, you know, went against Jewish. But that wasn't the case. They put Germans in concentration camps. If you did not look the certain way, if you were gay,
right.
If you spoke out against them, there was a death sentence.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy to think that it wasn't that long ago, right? So that's your grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
So also, Nate and I were watching the movie National Treasure last night, mm-hmm. one and two, one of my favorite movies with Nicolas Cage. It's based on U.S. history.
Right.
And when we're talking about the dates, it's 200 years ago. We're not talking about a lot of time.
No.
200 years is not that long ago. And so then there's a part when I heard that where I'm like, okay, well, I've said 100 times before all of this, like, why can't you guys just get over it? It was a long time ago. It really wasn't that long ago.
No, it wasn't.
And, you know, that all of this has happened. And so now I come to the point where it wasn't that long ago, and it's okay to keep moving forward and to have these changes and these ripples and these huge movements so that we can continue to improve. I think what happens with Americans is because we're all very hardworking is that we bear down and just keep pushing forward. And so something like this is okay because it's forward movement and hopefully it would be positive forward movement.
Correct.
But I also think that we need to forgive one another because it was not that long ago. And this country as a whole is still so very young. And we're still very much learning of what's right and wrong. Because let's be honest, where we came from, Europe and all of that, they didn't teach us very well.
No, because...
Right? Well, because they were all doing it too.
They were doing their own same... Right. And when you think about what they were doing over in Europe, all the same bad things, you know... And it may not have necessarily been against blacks, but there were Irish slaves. There were
Everything, yeah.
Right. Humanity as a whole is slowly progressing. And it is a slow progression. But we're slow animals, right? I mean, think about how long we've been here.
What I think is kind of cool is when I think about it, when we're talking about... that we're not the only ones that have done all these terrible things is that this movement and what affects our American people, there are riots and protests going on internationally
mm-hmm.
in support of equality for all. And what a great thing. Now, they don't have the power that we do as Americans to actually make it happen in our country. But the fact that we are inspiring other countries to demand the same from their own countries is a beautiful thing.
It is, absolutely.
Now, it's at the cost of our blood, right? And our citizens' blood and our shame, too, because now we have people making fun. We have other countries making fun of us. Of, you know, look at them. This is the way the Americans are doing it, and this is what it means to be an American. Because we're still trying to fucking figure this out.
Well, and you know what? Here's the other thing. We always get mocked by everybody because we do things differently than everywhere else. We are the country that separated from the greatest power at the time of Britain, right?
Right.
Okay. And everyone thinks, you know, Americans are arrogant. And guess what? We are fucking arrogant because you know why? We gave our citizens rights and freedom to govern themselves. We do not bow down to a king or a queen. We do not kiss somebody's hand. You want something, right. You fucking work for it. You are not born into a social class that you are stuck in without an opportunity to get out of. Mm-hmm. You know, in Russia 4 or 5 years ago, you could be pushed off a building because you were gay and there was no consequence.
Right.
Right? So, but now that people are actually starting to speak out and protest, they're doing that because we were able to start doing it. So while fucking mock us, they're also envy of us.
Right. And I think, you know, the other thing they mock us from is, you know, they first world problems, right? But the reason we have first world problems is because we cherish our rights and our ability to be free thinking, free moving people,
right?
Which other countries don't understand. We complain about the simple things because we understand that the simple things should be fucking simple. When you have countries that are hungry, without power, without medical supplies, as Americans, we're never going to fucking settle for that.
Correct.
So yeah, when we're complaining that we don't have toilet paper, it's because we realize that we pay enough taxes that we have piping systems and everything that allow toilet paper. A lot of these countries don't even have that.
Right. And why don't those countries have that? Because you have a dictator or you have a corrupt small government that doesn't allow their people anything. You're either extremely rich and you're corrupt or you're extremely poor. There is no in between. And because the people in charge don't give a shit about their people.
Right. Right. Yeah. I agree with that. So I think, you know, I don't know. I think it's all great. I think it's all great. I love these curveballs that we keep seeing. I love the adjustments. It was scary at first to see a lot of people start folding and we're going to pull this from TV. We're going to pull that from TV. We're going to do something. I watched a great show yesterday called The Neighbors.
Uh-huh.
It's not Sinbad. It's one of the other kings of comedy. What the fuck is it called? Anyways, the premise of the show is a black family living next door to a white family.
Uh-huh.
And they make a lot of racial jokes, bias jokes.
Right.
Kind of back and forth. Not where it's intentional, but just where these two families are getting to know each other. And when I was watching it yesterday, it wasn't even... it's not a new show.
Mm-hmm.
It's been on for, I think, 2 or 3 seasons. But it's a good show for what's going on now. And I'm surprised that it hasn't been talked about because it had this dialogue when Lorelai and I were watching it where they're learning from one another.
Right.
They both kind of screw up. Like the white lady bought her friend next door, this black lady, a peasant shirt. Because the black lady had complimented her, like, "Ooh, I like your shirt." So she bought her one. And she was like, I don't like it. And that offended her friend, the white lady.
Right.
And she goes, "Well, the way that I was raised was when somebody buys you something, you wear it and you show them that you appreciate it."
Right.
And the black lady said something like, "Well, I wasn't raised like that." And she was like, "Well, I was raised differently than you." And all the black people at the party turned their heads. And her friend told her that she should leave before she got herself in trouble and then went next door and explained to her when a white woman says that to you, like, "Well, we were raised differently," that them as black people take it as, "Well, we were raised better than you." And she was like, "Oh, my God, I didn't mean that."
Right.
But it allowed for this conversation to happen,
right,
where you don't realize what you're saying to one another and how somebody's interpreting it. Because of years of, "Well, we were raised better than you. We were raised with this kind of manner," or something.
Right.
And then also she asked, "Well, why don't you like the shirt?" And the black lady said, and this is where the comedy comes in, because it is a comedy show, said something like, "Because on you, it's adorable little house on the prairie. On me, it's 12 years a slave." And I started cracking up and I was like, you know what? She's right.
Okay.
Like, both people can't wear those shirts. And she did try to wear the shirt out, and one of her friends called her Harriet Tubman.
Oh, God.
And she ran back inside and changed the shirt. So it's just a great show, and I hope to see more of those shows, right? Okay. Because what better way to teach us anything through music, through art, through film, through anything, to see people having these conversations.
Right, exactly.
That are interesting.
And that needs to happen more and more.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. I'm trying to find the comedian's name.
Are you sure it's not Tyler Perry?
No, it's not. It's, what the fuck? I can't find it now. It's King. He's got a name.
Well, of
King,
course he's got a name.
I know. King. I just watched him on Celebrity Family Feud, too. Anyhow, I'll find it at some point and shout it out.
All right.
Jumping over, let's talk about, do you know how to pronounce this bitch's name? Maxwell?
It almost sounds like Eileen. Ghislaine. Something like that. It's so hard to pronounce. And when you hear it in the TV, it's like, oh, that sounds easy. But then you look at her fucking name and you're like, what?
Well, let's just call her that cunt.
Let's call her
So, Eileen. Epstein's cunty ass girlfriend was finally arrested almost a year after his death. With six charges of some type of sexual assault and abuse to underage victims. She was arrested in the United States and will face prosecution for her part of grooming underage victims for Epstein's sex cult. And I wouldn't even call it Epstein's. I'd call it this dumb cunt's sex cult along with Epstein, because they were both involved in it.
So I just watched I just finished last night the Epstein series on Netflix. Have you seen it?
So good. Yes, so good.
Oh my gosh, it is so good.
Yeah, if you guys have not watched it, go and watch it. If you don't know the background of Epstein and just all of a sudden seeing all the memes of he didn't kill himself, go and watch it. It really breaks down what happened. It also breaks down a fucking corrupt judicial system we have.
Oh, yes. Very much so. I can tell you, Dion was so angry watching this show. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was just mad. He was really, really... I mean, because we're not talking about 5 or 10 girls. We're talking hundreds of girls that are 12 years old that have been recruited, and that this woman started, right? And they were smart. They got other girls to recruit other girls by paying them, and thus those girls who were now recruiting other girls couldn't say anything or report anybody because it was a felony what those girls were doing. So they would be charged.
Right. It's what she did, so that was one of my questions. Do you think that she was worse than Epstein?
No. I think... No. Because in the end, Epstein did the act. Epstein continued it. Epstein never said no. Epstein used political and financial advantages to intimidate and terrify these girls and anybody around him. Because if you remember in the series, there were so many people seeing what was going on around, and nobody said anything.
Right.
Everybody kept quiet, and Dion's getting so angry. And I said, but you're forgetting something. I'm like, this man has the ability to destroy your livelihood. And he's like, well, I take it. And I said, it's not about you.
Right.
I said, Epstein could put your wife or put your daughter in a sex trafficking ring. Are you going? And I'm like, as a father of a young daughter, are you going to speak up and risk your daughter's livelihood?
Right.
So he by far is worse than she is. And something really didn't make sense for me So she got the 6 counts that range from transporting a minor for purpose of criminal sexual activity to conspiring to entice minors to travel and to engage in legal sexual acts, right? But it was only from 94 to 97. Now, they had been doing this all the way up to what, 2010? Right? What about all those other years? And I thought I had answered my question in the documentary, because when he got charged in 2010 and he pled guilty with that state deal with the U.S. state attorney.
In Florida, right?
What happened in Florida, right. What happened was the deal granted him immunity and any named and unnamed co-conspirators immunity.
Fucking ridiculous. It was fucking ridiculous.
Exactly.
Right.
So who does that? And then it took another, what, 5-7 years before a judge ruled that that was unconstitutional? Right. Because the victims didn't get their day in court. They didn't even get to object to right. the deal. So, which that was done by Acosta, and then he had to step
so
down.
I'll tell you, in my opinion, I think she's worse. I think that any woman that will use it, the reason why she was effective and Epstein was effective is because he had a female partner, because women trust women. And she was going to these young girls, whether it be in a maternal position or a friendly position, and using her ability as a female to say, come, it's okay, trust me, you can trust me. Where maybe those girls wouldn't have done it if it was a man, because let's be honest, back then, and even right now, I'm sure most people teach their teen daughters is stay away from old white men or stay away from men, right? Right. They never thought of her as a predator, and women can be. And the fact that a woman used her ability to get close to these young girls because she was a woman, I think she is fucking disgusting.
So then I have to ask you this question, just because I'm playing devil's advocate. Then you would have to say the exact same thing about every other girl that recruited another
100%.
Girl. But they were victims as
well.
Well,
okay, so
you know what I mean?
This is where I would, right? Yeah, this is where I could defend those girls, is that just like you said, so if I am a 15-year-old girl and I have been raped and now I'm sucked in, right? Now, most of these girls, like they said, they found certain girls. They would have never picked a girl that has a mom, dad, rich family, right? You pick somebody, same thing with one of the local churches here. One of our friends had said they purposely, the pastor would call out girls that came from a broken home, that maybe their parents were divorced. Maybe they needed financial money. Maybe they seeked fortune and fame. And so then they would pick these girls on purpose. And then as soon as they were involved in it, then there's the threat of, well, if you say something, you're just as guilty as us, right? So now you are using the victim on their behalf. Do I think that those victims are as guilty as her? No, because she was not a victim. She was a grown-ass woman going after children.
Yep.
But when you take a victim and then use that victim to then breed more, I can't hold that against a victim, because they had it done to them, and then it's just this fucking snowball effect.
Exactly, which is why it's one of the biggest sex trafficking ring we've ever seen.
My next,
and it's gone completely unnoticed, and it wasn't even in the media for that long either, which really fucking pisses me off.
Well, I would say that it did not go unnoticed. It was definitely noticed, but like a lot of things in this country, when it comes to wealth and people of power, they look the other way. It might have been unnoticed to you and I, the everyday workers.
Right.
But there are a lot of people in political figures, celebrities, businessmen that all knew about this.
Right. Like Bill
Clinton. Right. Yeah. Like Donald Trump.
Prince Andrew.
right? Yeah. There are That's a lot major. Of presidents that are on that list. There are a lot of politicians that are on this list. Well, so this goes to my next question, a couple questions. Is she going to die?
Oh, well, I already saw, yes, because BBC on July 8th released an article dated July 11th that her COVID was getting worse and she was going to be admitted to the ICU.
So you think she's dying of COVID?
Well, that's what, you know, BBC already pre-printed that wasn't.
Right.
And isn't it, she's in the same prison that he was in.
Yeah.
So he's
the same one that has security camera issues and all this stuff.
Right.
So I think 100% she's dying. So my son was saying, well, they can't do it again. The truth is, yes, they can.
Yeah, they can.
Because you and I won't care. When she dies of COVID or an accidental suicide or shanking by a prisoner or whatever it might be, all of us are going to be like, oh, got her. Fucking got her.
No.
Nobody's going to care.
No, you know what? I do want to care because I want that cunt to name names.
Right. Well, see, I think they'll just kill her. Yeah. I think they will just kill her. And so, and this is what I was telling Ethan is that as Americans, we don't care. If she was an innocent woman, then there'd be an outrage, right? Or if she was a mentally ill person or something like that. But she hurt children. Yep. And there's not a single American that is thinking, well, she deserves her due process. We don't give a fuck when it comes to pedophiles. Kill them. Kill them all. As soon as we hear that, nobody gives a shit about the judicial system.
But what I am saying is I don't care about the judicial system for her. What I care about is I want names of who else was involved. Because not only were these girls forced to sleep with Jeffrey Epstein, but they were forced to sleep with other people. And I want to know who those fuckers are. So I would like this cunt to run her fucking mouth and name the names that are there. Right. I want to know who, as a celebrity and as a politician and all these powerful people, are doing these nasty, fucking horrible things to the girls of not only our country, but around the fucking world. Because enough is enough.
Then you can kill her. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I think they will kill her. And when I say they, so that's why I stopped talking about it earlier. Who do you think they is? Is it the government? This is the great thing about the Epstein is it's such a huge array of they. Oh, it is celebrities with lots of money.
Yeah.
It's politicians with lots of money. It's judges with lots of money. It's CEO and powerful businessmen with lots of money, all willing to kill them, to have her killed.
Yeah.
So they're going to be like, who's going to do it? You going to do it? Wait, Will Smith is on that fucking list. He flew that plane.
So did Chris Tucker.
Right. But well, so did Spacey, who we all know has already sexually assaulted women.
Kevin Spacey. Now, here's the one thing they did mention in the documentary was Stephen Hawking went to that island. And even when the survivors had said, he was there for a lunch and left. Like, there was no dirtiness going on. And just by that statement alone, it really convoluted things because, so were they there for an event and nothing happened and they left? Or were they there for the dirty shit? Now, we know Bill Clinton was there for the dirty shit because that fucker was on that log 26 times.
Right.
Right? Kevin Spacey, dirty motherfucker. But then I hear Chris Tucker, and I'm like, I don't know which way to think about Chris Tucker.
Right, yeah.
And it puts doubt into your mind, instead of it being very clean cut of, if they went there, they knew.
Right.
Or they were participating.
Well, so that's the thing too, right, is if Stephen Hawking was on the list, but they swear that nothing happened, that might be true. You can't hear me?
Hello, and sorry about that, guys. We had a little bit of technical difficulty, so let's just move going forward with the cunt bitch Epstein's girl. My next question to you, do you think, because so you said you wanted her to name names. I sent you a little blurb of Andrew and the guys from Flagrant 2 talking about this dumb bitch the other day. And that's okay if you didn't listen to it. That's okay. What I will say is Mark Gagnon, one of the comedians, he is a big conspiracy uh-huh. theory guy. And Andrew was talking about the arrogance in this bitch. That first of all, she knew that they were coming for her. She knew that they released this documentary, which does not put her in a good light. And she's sitting up there in fucking New Hampshire, still on vacation, when she has the money and ability to go to any country that doesn't allow them to bring her back to the United States and prosecute her. So she's either A, super fucking arrogant and thinks that she's untouchable because she knows enough names, which did not save her boss or boyfriend, by the way, because they fucking killed him. Or Mark Gagnon was saying that he thinks that she's named names, that is why she was still here, that she has already named names. The government is going to prosecute her and give her a deal and put her in witness protection. That is the only reason that it would make sense that she'd still be sitting here in the U.S.
Yeah, it could very well be, because otherwise she would be in a foreign country right now, because she's not stupid. Let's be really honest. The woman is very intelligent, very connected, very wealthy. I mean, beyond wealthy.
Right.
I mean, even Epstein had multiple escape routes when they went and raided the island, right? There were diamonds and fake passports and fake names, and he was going to disappear, right? So there was no, she had something prepared, and I'm sure she's going to name names. Maybe she has the tapes, because remember in the documentary, they pointed that every inch of every one of his houses or locations was filmed 24/7. I mean, showers, bathrooms, bedrooms, halls, saunas, spas, everything was covered. And so all these famous politicians and celebrities who engaged in these illegal sex trafficking, force raping these children is caught on camera.
Right. Well, you know, you see every Law and Order episode I've ever watched, most of the time those fuckers are recording it. So there's no doubt in my mind that his little fucking mini torture island had cameras. It also reminds me of when we talked about conspiracy theories, and you remember you talked about the young blood of children in this island that group had said celebrities have. Conspiracy theories, in my opinion, all come from some grain of truth of something. So maybe that was based truly on Epstein's island. That maybe they weren't drinking the blood, but they were basically sacrificing these children's purity, right? And taking it from them. And I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of hoping, like, it's what you said, that she's named names and that we'll find that out. And that maybe Mark Gagnon with his conspiracy theory is true. And he also said that there's some people that don't believe that Epstein is dead. That maybe the government did fake his death. Yeah. And he is now in witness protection program and has
maybe so, because maybe it's so high up, it's beyond the American government, like, you know, because they had brought in girls from other countries. So sex trafficking is not limited to the United States. It is a global pandemic what's going on, and
it is
so maybe
right,
it's
yeah.
higher than just the American highest, and maybe
right.
And that was the other thing they said in the documentary. They had said when Epstein was killed, or, you know, suicide, the brother had a specialist come in, and the way that the H bone is what they called it, or the bone right here, or in your throat, and he said the way that it was broken was very, 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 very rare to see the way that it was broken by a hanging of someone who had committed suicide. There was no way to have created enough force by himself to have broken that bone in the three different places. And right. when I was watching it, I realized, I was like, because they were like, oh, he hung himself with the bed sheets. And you see all these bed sheets. And I'm like, where did this motherfucker get all these bed sheets from? He's only allowed one right. bed sheet. Because right. half the time in prison, they don't let you have sheets for this reason.
Right, right. And it's, I mean, let's be, everybody knows he did not kill himself.
He did not.
He did not kill himself. If he's even dead. So then the question is, right, is now, is he even dead? Because that was the first time I had heard, oh, well, maybe he's not even dead and maybe he's in. And now, like I said before, I probably would have laughed the idea of a conspiracy theory off. But why would she have stuck around if there was not a deal in the works?
Could be. Because, I mean, the motherfucker got immunity for himself and, you know, unnamed co-conspirators. What makes us think he isn't negotiating another deal for someone else?
Right. And then think about it like this. Our government is great at distracting us. If you want to distract us from a pandemic, if you want to distract us from a racial war, if you want to distract us from anything, let's take down big people.
Right.
Nothing that Americans love more than having the rich pay for the crimes that they should be doing, be paying for, and how quickly it will divert our attention.
I say that on the flip. Mm-hmm. They don't want us paying attention to this sex trafficking ring. So somehow or another, we just randomly got a pandemic right around the same right. time. And now we have race wars going on and we have riots and protests all this same time. So I would say those things are used to distract us from the truth. That's what's going on.
Oh, see, and I see it the opposite of like they released this Netflix DVD 30 to 45 days before they arrested her. And they talked about the arrest and how big it was and how many people it took and how they had planned it. In my mind, it's hard to believe that the release of the documentary and the arrest aren't connected. And if they are connected, why would Netflix and the release of the documentary be involved on an FBI future arrest, right? Like, how would they know when to release? I don't know. Super fucking conspiracy.
Right. Because someone on the board knows what the fuck's going on because they're involved.
Right. Or if you think about it like this, right? If our generation is ready to get rid of old fucking politicians, old fucking rich white men, what better way to do it than fucking do this? Let's clean house. Let's show what fucking rapists and perverts they've been. It'll show that whoever is responsible for taking her down and slowly taking down these criminals that have been molesting and raping children, that it will look great to the American people, right? That we've been trying to find a way to get the fucking Clintons out of the way.
Yeah, someone needs to just knock them off.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. What's your death count? How long do you think before she dies? If she's going to die?
That depends on if she's named names, right? Like, or hasn't. I mean,
if she has not named names, but has the ability to.
She's gone.
I know.
And like you said, maybe she works out the same deal. Maybe that's why she's so arrogant. Maybe Epstein never died. He's hiding somewhere in witness protection. And in return for that, he's like, you need to make sure that Maxwell has the exact same immunity.
Right.
So she may fake die as well.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, 100%. It's not beyond. I've never met anybody in witness protection. I'm sure there's thousands. But we don't know.
I could be in witness protection.
Exactly. Man. I could be. No, I got a big fucking mouth. I could never be in it. I'd be like, my name's Sabrina. I'm in witness protection. Please don't tell anybody.
Yeah, pretty much.
Our podcast would be She's in witness protection. It would be the name.
That would be the name.
Guess
it?
Which one. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, who fucking knows? I think there are celebrity death lists where people have these polls on, like, I'm sure, like, Betty White is at the very top, or Ozzy Osbourne, right? These people that we all know are going to die at some point. Right. I bet this bitch's name is at the very, very top now.
Oh, yeah.
She's definitely dying before Betty White.
Definitely. Betty White's going to outlive us all.
Right. All right. So, look, this movement...
This, what are you doing? Oh my god!
I'm trying to TikTok. All right, that's my pivot.
Don't.
That's my pivot to TikTok and China. And you go. Tell me what's going on with China.
Okay, so as most of you guys know, mainly our listeners probably from your children, there is an app called TikTok, right? Mm-hmm. And for us old folks, basically, it's a place where they have music and they do these funky little dance, or they say different things. And there's this one person on there. She goes up to her mother all the time and asks her to do stupid brain teasers, right? So it's a cute little app. Well, Mike Pompeo came out saying that U.S. is considering banning TikTok and other apps from China. And the reason behind this is because China has a law called, it's China's National Intelligence Law that was put into place in 2017, which requires organizations and citizens to support and assist with the state and intelligence work. What that basically means is China at any point can go to any one of their any company, China-based company, or to their citizens and demand that they hand over their data. Mm-hmm. TikTok has over 800 million active users. That's a lot of fucking data and a lot of American data in that. So even though TikTok has... is led by an American CEO and has released a statement saying that no higher priority than promoting safe and secure app experience. We would never provide data to the China government. They don't have a fucking choice. China is a communist state or country, okay? TikTok is not an American-owned company. It is owned by ByteDance. And that is a Chinese it's a multinational company that is headquartered in Beijing.
Wow, yeah.
And they are worth over $100 billion. So here's, and I said, they said that they wouldn't give it, but they have to. They don't have a choice. And so I was wondering, what is the data? The basic info you put in the app? Right? Like your name, your email, right? All that sort of stuff. The videos, the practice videos that you don't actually upload. And then my question was, does it continue recording because you have the app downloaded? We all know our fucking cell phones are little recorders. Everybody's fucking listening to everything and everything off of these damn things, right? I read an article. It said images, biometric, and locations.
That's what I was going to say. The locations, right? Because they can track your locations of those images, of those recordings. Like you said, is your phone then always listening?
Correct. So here's another thing. India banned TikTok last week over allegations that are engaged in activities prejudicial to sovereignty and integrity of India. And that basically occurred because China decided to back up to India's borders in the Himalayas.
Yeah, China is actually attacking India right now. And they have been, I think, for the last 2 weeks. And there's been quite a few Indian, and we're talking dot, not feathered, Indian deaths, which we should all support India, right? Because we all fucking hate China. And we know what they're doing. And what have the fucking Indians ever done to anybody? They're just living over there as poor as possible. If you are an Indian citizen,
your goal is just to eat that day.
Yes.
So, just to eat. And China's going to attack them?
Yeah. Well, and China, and you got to remember, now China has an advantage over them because they have all their data from
right.
their citizens. So several U.S. agencies and branches of the military have banned TikTok for their personnel, such as the Transportation Security Administration and the Army. So if you're in the Army, you can't fucking have TikTok. You want to know why? Because China doesn't need to know where our fucking army is.
Right. Yeah, good point. Well, you know, that makes me think that the U.S. should ban it for all military.
Yes.
Right? Because
they want to ban it for everybody.
Yeah. I know that for sure. And I'm not against it. You know, create a different platform. You can call it PikTok if you want. That actually sounds more Chinese than TikTok. And make it a U.S.-based platform.
Exactly. As long as it's a United States company.
Right. And we can control the actual true privacy issues with it.
Right.
Because, again, I mean, most of it before the pandemic, TikTok was mostly for children as well. So then we have our children on these recordings and we're going to trust the Chinese government with the integrity and sanctity of our children. Fuck off. That's not going to happen. Now, tell me a little bit about, I know last week I had sent you an article too about China's ownership in the U.S. Do you think that we allow China to get a lot away with a lot of shit?
Yes. China?
And why? Why do you think we allow it? I agree with you, but I don't know exactly why.
Because our politicians that have been in office for the last 40 to 50 to 60 years, like fucking Joe Biden, are in bed with China and making a shit ton of money. That's
right.
Why. Did you know China owns Smithfield now? Our pork company? Smithfield.
Ham. I didn't know that.
Ham. Bacon. They own that. It's kind of funny. They own our bacon, and I'm going to point this out with TikTok really quick. TikTok became very popular with our pandemic shutdown. People, on an average, spend 52 minutes per day on there. And the visitor growing exponentially between January and April. Is it any coincidence that we got a China virus and now TikTok is making a shit ton of money?
Right. No, I agree. And I would say my daughter's average usage is 52 hours not on TikTok a day.
No,
52
minutes a day.
Yeah, not on a day. Because the rest of the day she is on it constantly.
Right. Yeah.
And it is an app that becomes addicting. It doesn't surprise me, right? I mean, China manufactures and makes a lot of the things that we need. So when these illnesses come up, they're making money either way.
Oh my God. Did you know that China owns 90% of our antibiotics that we use in this country?
I did not.
90% of our antibiotics come from a Chinese-owned company, which means that at any point, China could stop our antibiotics and we would be fucked. And that's why Donald Trump is trying to get American pharmaceuticals companies back in business.
Right.
See, what China does is they're like, oh, China, come over. You guys come over here. We have cheap labor, da-da-da. But then they steal all our intellectual data. And then they get on our boards. And then they buy into the companies, right?
Right.
With all of it. And they steal. And they screw us on imports, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the not being able to, we can't charge them an import fee, but if we want to import something to them, they charge us fucking high rates.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's insane. I wonder, again, like I said, I don't know why. I do believe that we let China off the mat for a lot, and I don't understand why.
Because somebody is making shit tons of money in other places, which
right.
is why. And it's political. Look, it is political. It's pretty much, and I can't say it's all Democrats, right?
No, I mean, this is a thing that's been going on for a long, 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 long time.
Right. It's part of the people that are corrupt.
Right.
And they want a new world order, and it's going to be a communist party, and China is silently trying to take over the United States, because if they can take over the U.S., they can take over anywhere.
And I'm not even sure that it's so much that they want to take over. They don't need to take over us. They need to distract us, right? They distract us with these fucking pandemics and these illnesses and these things that they slowly end up having their hands in, and we're constantly trying to fix and get it going, where they don't need to take over us. They just need to cripple us.
Correct. Right. And
which they've been successful in doing.
And then slowly changing the mentality away from an American democracy to a communist, socialist ideas. I mean, can you tell me a time in our country we had a democratic socialist?
No.
Put the word, so put democratic in front of it all you want. It's still socialist. And
right.
People, oh, thank God people are starting to wake up. But that's another thing China's doing. They're like, they're dripping this into our way of thinking.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no better. China, I think, has become very, very good at distracting the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And then helping them. Let's help the U.S. by manufacturing this. Let's help the U.S. by paying for some of their debt or borrowing money against them
after they inflated their own currency.
Right, right. So they're very good at playing an ally and enemy.
Yep.
At the same time. And it's strange to me that we are okay having them at our dinner table, but having a gun underneath the table pointing at them the whole time.
Right.
And why we're okay with that relationship.
Well, because sometimes you have to keep your enemy, what is that saying? Keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
Because and they do the exact same thing. They keep us close and we need to keep them close because we need to know what they're doing and having a counter attack. It's Sun Tzu. It's the art of war.
Yeah, what I like about Donald Trump, and this is the part that reminds me that he's not a politician, is that he feels the same way about China that most of us do, where all of us are like, why the fuck do we let the Chinese do this? And the Chinese are obviously against us, and that not the Chinese people. We're talking about the government of the Chinese or China. That Donald Trump absolutely hates them.
Yeah.
And he has no problem saying it over and over again. This is China's fault. This is China. Because we all know it. And so then when everybody's like, ooh, you can't call it the Chinese virus. You can't call it this. You can't blame that. Why not?
Right.
Because when the facts are pointing that way.
Yeah. Oh, did you hear from the World Health Organization? They admitted that China denied it, even though they knew it, that it came from China and didn't release it immediately.
Right.
So, yeah, these little fuckers are trying to kill us.
I know. I agree. I think it's so insane. And I didn't know that TikTok was owned by China until I saw that article. And I think it would be a huge play for the U.S. Huge. Now, do you think when we talk about the government trying to filter and control what we use and our freedom of speech and freedom of this,
mm-hmm.
what will the outcry be when they say, okay, the U.S. cannot use TikTok? If you wake up tomorrow morning and that app is not on your phone, which I'm not talking about you because you and I don't care,
right?
But there's a 10-year-old girl in my house that will care. And there are now, because of this pandemic, voters that use this yeah. app that will say, well, now the U.S. is trying to stifle us and tell us what we can use.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Do you think that the government should have the right to do that?
In this particular situation, yes. Mm-hmm. I believe they do. Because we're not talking about stifling your right to freedom of speech. You have the right to go on any other platform, Facebook, Twitter, Parler, go out and fucking go to your neighborhood and say whatever you want. It is freedom of speech. It is not the method of your freedom of speech.
Right, yeah.
The Constitution does not say you have the right to freedom of speech via applications.
Right.
That's not how it works. This is a danger to our society. It is
from a
danger,
safety standpoint.
From a safety right. standpoint. I yeah. mean,
we and I think what people need.
Wait. We mandate vaccines mm-hmm. in our children for the safety of their health. This is no different.
Mm-hmm. And what I think people need to realize too is that since the pandemic, cyber attacks have been up significantly since this pandemic because electronics is our only source of contact at this point.
Right.
And so this now then more than ever should be a concern.
Yes.
Because we are all communicating whether through Zoom or Skype or TikTok or whatever it might be, you know, and I think for that reason that people should be forgiving and understanding when the government says we shouldn't use this. I think the proper way to do it is to have a US-based developer develop a similar app.
Yep.
And put it out there and say, okay, we'll go here and do it.
Correct.
And just cut out the fucking Chinese government.
Pretty much, because they are making billions and billions and billions of dollars off of us right. doing this. And it's wrong. And you know what? You just mentioned fraud and cybersecurity. And it's interesting that the Democratic state of California has defunded that out of their LAPD.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember we talked about that last week.
Right.
No big surprise to me. Anything else you want to say about China?
They fucking suck.
Chinese chicken. Dun, 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 dun. When's there a Foo Fighter song about that?
Yes.
Dun, 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 the Chinese chicken. I don't even know what that means.
I don't know. All I know is I want some General Tso's chicken, though.
I do. I love Chinese food.
It's so bad for us.
But it's so good. That's how they're killing us, is fucking obesity and that General Tso's chicken.
I know. They don't bring in that kimchi over here.
Yeah, right. So I mentioned that I watched that movie National Treasure, and
yes.
I have this proposal in my head that I got last night while I was watching it, and I was in love with this idea. So in the second movie of National Treasure, it's called like the Book of Secrets.
Uh-huh.
And the Book of Secrets is a book that from George Washington on, the presidents have written secrets that only the president gets to see, and only that current president knows what's in there, right?
Right.
And so I was talking to Nate last night, and I asked him, do you think that as a departing president, for example, George W. Bush, who was president during 9/11, do they write a farewell letter, a farewell and welcoming letter to the next preceding president? So in his case, it would have been Obama, right? So a president of saying like, hey, listen, this is a tough job. Good luck to you. These are the experiences I learned from. This is the man I was going in, and this is the man I'm going out. And is there a tradition between presidents that they've carried and kind of passed these letters to? Just one letter, just one goodbye and hello.
I don't know. It sounds a little too romanticizing.
It's so cool, isn't it?
But let's be real. I'm sure that shit's not happening. They're like, fucker, figure this shit out. Good luck, right?
Well, because
can you really imagine Obama going, welcome, Donald Trump. I'm so happy you're the next president. And even though we completely polar opposites, blah, blah, blah. No,
I can. No,
I can
100% because I'm also very excited about who Donald Trump will be in the next 4 years. Because I think even physically, it's been proven that the way that the president looks, no matter how young they are, going in at the beginning of their term, physically, what the presidency does and the power and the responsibility has a physical effect on their aging. They
yes.
age very quickly. That I don't believe that these, and we've only had 43. 43 men that have ever been in this experience. Is that right? 43
no.
presidents? That's
Trump
that's
is
when
the
Nate...
45th.
Okay, 45. 45 presidents. So you were looking at me like I was way fucking off.
Yeah.
So 45 presidents. Nobody else knew that. So there's only 45 men that have been in that position. And I do think that Obama is the kind of man that has the integrity and humbleness and grace to leave a letter like that. I'd be more surprised if Trump did it than President Obama. But I do think that the man that Trump was when he went in 4 years ago will be a different man because he's going to have a better understanding of a job that nobody can understand.
Right.
44 other people are the only ones.
Right. That
right?
would
so,
ever understand. And not all
yeah.
of them are alive.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you never see presidents afterwards. They're not vicious towards one another. There is an understanding after the term is over of how fucking hard the job is, which a lot of us tend to look past of it's a hard fucking job.
It is. It is a very hard job. Not only is the job hard, but then you have everybody criticizing you for every little fucking thing, no matter which way it is. And
right.
I will be shocked if these other presidents are nice to Trump, because they sure as fuck were not nice to him when he went in.
Yeah, but you know what? I think that there's probably some of them that look at him and say, man, he's doing some of the things that we couldn't say, because a lot of them have been bred into the political families, right? So as much as they would like to say something, they can never say something. And so then there is this silent of, okay, man, good for you. You know, where they might never tweet it, but there's a head nod of, man, he fucking said it.
Right. And I agree with that. But then I also think there are past presidents and other politicians that don't like him because they're going to expose them for the dirty deeds they've been doing.
Yeah, but I think that's different than politicians. Yes, I think and maybe like you said, it's a romantic thought that I hold even if I didn't vote for them, if I didn't support their entire term as presidency, I respect these men for the jobs they've taken. And I like to believe that there is this fucking understanding of, God, that was fucking hard.
Right.
That was hard.
Yeah.
And you're going to need this good luck, man. You're going to need it doesn't matter if I hate your guts. Nobody's going to take this job that hates this country, right? Every one of those presidents loved America in some way and in some form and only want the best for him. Donald Trump is a fucking shit show, but I don't believe that he wants the worst for America. He wants America to be great. I believe that.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I might not believe in his tactics, but I believe in what he's saying, and I believe that Obama, as he exited, even if he couldn't stand fucking Trump, wants him to succeed. It's
right.
not beneficial for his country to not. And these 44 men are more unique than the rest of us. They've got this better understanding of it.
Oh, absolutely.
So in my mind, from this book of secrets, I would love the thought and wonder if anybody's ever written about the traditions
mm-hmm.
of the White House that we don't know about. Like, I know, for example, the first ladies have a lunch together.
Right.
Before the inauguration. They have a private lunch with just the two of them. Oh, basically probably having the same conversation that I hope that they're writing letters about. Of, hey, this is what's going to be hard. What's that, first ladies?
It is a book. All about an intimate group portrait of White House wives by Margaret Truman.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never read it all the way through, but just like you were saying, it's all about the first wives and all the things that they do.
Right. Because as a mother, right, you have to prepare the next woman of what she needs to prepare for as a mother to the children that are going to be raised in this light. as the wife of the most powerful man in the whole world, and how that changes the difficulties of a marriage, the difficulties as a human, the difficulties as a woman, and the personal attacks that she will receive.
Right.
Are they sharing that information with one another every single time? And based on my imagination, I would love to believe that there is, from George Washington on, just this letter of, or this tradition of, hey man, good luck.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know. It would be cool. Right.
Right.
I would love to read the secrets in the book.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like whatever was on page 57 of the last movie, which by the way, they never made a third one. So I'll never know what was on page 57 of the Book of Secrets. Yeah, right? Oh, hey, by the way, and the bodies are buried here.
Right. Or this is what really happened.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot that we don't know of. So I just thought, I was watching the movie last night and hit pause and was like, ooh, what if this is something that happens? And how cool does that sound?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure there's history books out there that probably would tell you, and I don't know if, but I think there is a book about president secrets.
Yeah, or there are internal traditions within the White House of, because there's this whole life that goes on within those doors that we have no idea
right.
about.
It's their own secret society.
It is, right? That 45 people
yeah.
know. Only a lot of people, the VP can even act like he knows, right? You don't fucking know. Unless you are the president of the United States, you don't fucking know.
Right. That's the only person that knows everything about everything.
Right. And so I hope that they are the men that I believe they are. Because like I said, whether I voted for them or not, I believe every one of those men want the best for our country. And their vision might not align with mine. But their vision is they want America to be the best and always the best. And I hope that they're sharing and being the humble, powerful men that they appear to be when they leave.
Right.
And they might whisper something as they're leaving, like, good luck, you fucking
right.
dumbass.
But on the outside,
but something.
Like, please romanticize me.
Yes, I need it. I need
so really,
it.
I need this to be like some romance. You need it to be like The Bachelor and pass the rose.
Yes, yes. Of some type of tradition of, look, it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. And maybe share like, this is the biggest moment to me that was worth it. Or Bush saying, I'll never forget what 9 a.m. on 9/11 was like.
Right.
And this is how I dealt with it. And this is how the country dealt with it. And I pray to God that you don't deal with that. But just in case, this is what worked and this is what didn't.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
And then peace
right.
out.
Good luck. Have fun.
Don't call me. New phone.
Don't,
who
yeah,
dis?
Don't call me. That's what you have
right.
advisors for.
Right. Exactly right. So I don't know. That was just something I thought about. So, okay, well, let's get this shit show wrapped up. I don't think it was so bad.
No, it was good. We covered a lot of topics.
We did. It was fun. So anything you're looking forward to the end of the week, let's end it on something fun. Anything you're looking forward to?
No, the militia meeting. I mean, other than that, nothing else is going on. So
I hope there's ranks, and I hope you get a super cool title. Like, I can call you Sergeant Major
Tabby.
That
would be kind of fun.
I know. Sergeant, if you need to learn how to march, I was in the marching
nice.
Band, and I can teach you
okay.
how to march. I don't know. If it's a military march, you might look like you're carrying a trombone.
Because you were in the marching band.
I was in the marching band. I was the coolest girl in the marching band, and I stand by that statement.
Okay.
No matter what.
You go right ahead and do that. Oh my God, Sabrina, what the hell?
So, all right, guys. Well, I'm looking forward to, obviously, running away with Nate this weekend. We'll see how that
yes.
goes.
Good. You're going to have a lot of fun.
I hope so,
going
yeah.
chicka wow wow.
Right, brown cow. All right, girl.
All right, guys, as always, if you have any questions, comments, and concerns, give us a shout out at notasafespacepodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Have a great day, guys.
Bye.
Bye.